Hello and welcome to Platforms for Future. This podcast is about building and scaling B2B platform ventures to help you to accelerate and de-risk your journey with practical tips and insights. In our conversations, we talk to founders, executives, and experts, uncovering what they experienced and learned building their ventures. But we also cover new trends like ecosystem strategies, IoT and data platforms, Web3 and sustainability. This podcast is complementary to our Platform Innovation Kit toolset and the Platform Academy, where you can find more tools and learning opportunities for you and your team. For more information, please visit platforminnovationkit.com. And now, enjoy today's conversation.
Hello, and welcome to this new edition of our podcast, Platforms for Future. As always, we are very happy to host this discussion with a great new guest, but before welcoming this new guest, let me say hello to my favorite and only co-host, Matthias Walter. Hi, Matthias.
Bonjour, Natalie. Nice to be here with you and also looking forward to this new episode here.
Guten Morgen, Matthias. And today we've got the honor to have with us Lukas Lewandowski, and I hope I'm not saying that wrong, from Coursera. And we're going to talk about education, platforms, and AI. Hi, Lukas. Thanks for accepting our invitation.
Good morning. Bonjour, Natalie. And good morning, Matthias.
So I guess we don't really need to introduce Coursera because we're talking about a leader in B2B education. But I'm still going to ask you to do it. So if you don't mind, Lukas, maybe you can introduce yourself and introduce Coursera also.
Of course, happy to. Thank you, Natalie. So my name is Lukas. I'm a regional director at Coursera in the B2B space. I've been around in the business for an astounding, over 20 years now. I've started in consulting and then quickly moved to the B2B tech space. And I've spent something like 10 years with companies like HP and SAP. So in the IT services and software industry. And then a little over 10 years ago, I moved into education technology. I was with EF Education first. I was a country manager there for Germany. I was with them for almost 5 years. And now I'm with Coursera for roughly 2.5 years in my current role. So yeah, what is Coursera? I think most people will actually know it, but maybe I can provide a bit on background of Coursera that some people may not know. So Coursera will turn 12 years old this year, and it was founded by two Stanford professors, Daphne Koller and Andrew Ng. So they're both in the machine learning realm, I should say. And it started off as a MOOC platform. So what they did is they took their own courses and they put them online for people to learn and enjoy. And it took off more or less, right? They added more education partners quite soon. It was around 5 universities that they added very soon. They put their courses online. So the catalog started growing. And here we are, 12 years later, we have something like 136 million registered users. This is B2C and B2B. We're doing both. And we have over 300 education partners. These are either universities or industry partners. Basically, if it's an industry partner, then it's a company who is a leader in a specific space, and that's what their content is on. We have over 7,000 institutions that are using Coursera as their platform. They are either businesses, some are universities as well. Most of them were added in COVID times where we opened the platform for universities when the students couldn't go to classes anymore. And we have a sizable government business as well. I think it all started with the government of Abu Dhabi, who became a customer of Coursera a while ago, and that has grown significantly as well. So this is who we are. And the mission of Coursera, I really like it. It's a good thing to wake up to every morning and start working on, is to transform lives through learning. It's transformative learning. We want to up and reskill people or help companies up and reskill their employees. And I think that's a good thing to work on.
Wow, this is very, very impressive. So first, your own journey, the 10 years plus of experience in the education space, but also the journey of Coursera in the last 12 years. Today, we want to talk about the future of education, but always before you start talking about the future, you need to recognize where you are at the moment and what happened in the last years. Let's explore a bit. What do you think happened in the last 5 to 10 years related to or regarding to education? So a lot of digitalization happened. You mentioned also COVID. There were big changes, but how have they impacted education in general? You know, all the classic formats like MBAs, business schools and stuff like that. How has education changed in the last 10 years from your perspective?
Yes, so those were significant changes. And then we will talk about the future as well, because I'm expecting more significant changes. But you've mentioned it. There are a lot of face-to-face learners and there's a lot of face-to-face courses being taught. Now, they're still around. They always will be. But online learning really took off. This really took off, I would say, during COVID times, because obviously there was no alternative. And I definitely think it's here to stay. You've also mentioned degrees, which is interesting because, for example, on the Coursera platform, we have degrees as well. So you can take, for example, an MBA and get an MBA from the University of Illinois in the US. And that's certainly a change, right? I mean, 10 years ago, probably people would not have thought about that yet. I would say we've all moved more online over the years, not only in education, right? I mean, just in our lives in general. I think it's not as new as it used to be some time ago. So yeah, people have accepted that you can do all kinds of things online, and learning online is one of them.
And do you think it's kind of accepted from them, or maybe kind of a requirement? So maybe COVID forced us to look deeper into other models and formats.
Yes, absolutely. I think it's a necessity. It's part of the identity of companies as well, right? I mean, a lot of people are working remotely these days. A lot of them don't want to come into the office anymore. Companies are remote first. There is still content to be taught in every company. If you want to be a remote first company, you obviously have to teach that content in a remote fashion, in an online fashion. So I think it's clearly part of the DNA of companies these days.
Beyond that, to me, the first thing that comes to my mind is the democratization and the access. Because if you want to follow an MBA from Illinois, maybe you can't go to Illinois. Maybe it's too expensive, or maybe you have kids and you can't travel. And that enables it. And I think that's a huge benefit from just a human perspective.
I totally agree. And then also there is another thing. I mean, if you, let's say you want to take a Coursera course and you want everybody in your company to take that same course, you can. Before, if this was face-to-face, you would have different instructors. They all have their own good qualities, but they are different. And here you can learn at scale. You can have the same course for all your, I don't know, 50, 100,000 employees, whatever your company has worldwide, and they will get the exact same course in the exact same format.
Yes, but maybe they don't all speak the same language.
Oh, well, I'm glad you mentioned that, because that you're right. And that is a huge topic. This is where AI comes into play, because a lot of changes were possible through the use of AI lately, and translating course content is one of them. It has become so much easier as of lately. We're talking about last year. Most of our courses are in English, so a lot of people on this planet speak English, but as you say, not everyone equally so. So translating content in different languages was a huge topic in the past year, especially.
Yeah, I spoiled a bit the further discussion on AI, but I just thought it was fitting well in there.
Absolutely. Absolutely. I agree.
Goes maybe also back to the expectations of the learners, right? They join with different backgrounds. So you have more and more companies with multinational people. So if you have a course, then you can easily, instantly translate it via AI. We have also an online academy, the Platform Innovation Academy, and we see that companies are booking the courses to upskill their own employees. But there's also a potential with those new platforms to improve the onboarding of employees, right? So you can create your own courses about what are the values, what is the strategy of a company, or specific topics to onboard them faster and with maybe less resources than before.
Yeah, I would say whatever their reasons are, this could be onboarding or another reason, but I believe now we are right in the middle of that whole AI topic, because again, this is something fairly new. It's a product that we are releasing this year that we call Course Builder. Now, we've always had the chance for companies to create their own content, but it was creating content from scratch. And as we know, that takes time. But because of AI and the use of AI and generative AI, we can now be much quicker in generating content for courses. So basically, for our customers, for example, they can take whatever is on the Coursera platform. And let's say they want to create a course on a certain topic. With the help of AI, they can very quickly create a course that consists of their own content. This could be maybe even a, let's say, a speech by their CEO saying how important this training is, for example. Or it could be a certain module where they already have video content on. But they can enrich this with content that is already on the Coursera platform. They can sort of browse the platform and look for, let's say, leadership content, and take certain parts of that content and integrate it into their course. And that takes now less than a day, I would say, to create such a course, whereas before it would have probably taken weeks, if not months. So that's another topic where AI comes in very handy. Or another one, and this has to do with generating course content. There was always the problem of generating questions and answers, right? I mean, you have certain tests in your courses where you have, let's say, multiple choice tests. You're going to ask 10 questions and you need 4 or 5 answers for them. Well, that can now easily be done with generative AI. You upload the content of a course into a generative AI tool, and then you say, okay, please generate 10 questions with 5 answers each on a multiple choice test. Bam, you have it. It's much quicker and easier than ever before. So yeah, certainly providing good content will be easier and more customer specific than it was before.
Just so I understand correctly, the Course Builder, is it helping with producing the content and or with engineering the course? Because it's one thing having the content. It's another thing building an interesting, digestible course.
So the AI tool recommends certain topics. And the better you ask your questions, the better those recommendations will be. But then, of course, you can review those recommendations as the course creator and make sure that they're super relevant to what you're trying to achieve. So that is how it works. Also, using content that's already made, you can be much quicker than before. And already you will have some recommendations that most likely will be highly relevant to you. Some more maybe than others, but you always have several recommendations that you can choose from. So there is still, and this is true for a lot of things, AI, I would say, there is still a very important human element to it, right? There is still someone who has to review it, has to see whether it fits perfectly or it doesn't. There is still an important human element, but the research, for example, the narrowing down of the choices, that is now much quicker than it was before.
Dear listeners, I hope you enjoy our podcast and you can learn more about building and scaling a successful platform business. I'm Matthias, CEO of Fastbreak One. And as you know, we at Fastbreak One are platform entrepreneurs by heart. Since over 20 years, we are building new platforms, and this makes us one of the most experienced platform venture builders around the globe. If you are a corporate and you tried out different strategies, consultants, IT partners, but your platform initiative struggles to scale, please check out our assessment services. For example, we work closely together with a leading insurance company who tried to establish a platform for 2 years, but the results were below expectations and the risk to fail was very high. Within 1 month, we helped them to understand the bottlenecks and created a step-by-step plan to scale. Today, we are working very closely with the company and the platform became a market leader. Yes, we are no consultants. We are entrepreneurs and we love to share the risk and go full in building new platform ventures. Learn more about our experience and our practices of work at our website www.fastbreak.one or send us an email to contact@fastbreak.one. And now let's go back to the conversation.
Let's turn our view into the future. As you mentioned, in the last years, we have seen different formats and maybe different expectations, and people are more aware and using different online formats and so on. But when we look at the pace of change out there, this pace is immense. I think we now witness this with AI. Every week we see news about AI. It's not just ChatGPT. So this also brings a huge and immense challenge for organizations. They see new technologies out there. Everything changes very, very fast. I had problems as an organization in the past to keep up with the innovation speed in my market, with the customer requirements, etc., building new product services. And now the change is even further accelerating. So what does it also mean for education in the future? And then we can maybe in a second part turn on our perspective on Coursera and platforms.
So that's a big question that you're asking. Let me try to break it down a little bit. First of all, I think, and these are not our numbers, there are a couple of numbers that I want to mention from the World Economic Forum. It says 83 million jobs will be displaced by 2027. So they will cease to exist. And then another number that is probably even more astounding is that 44% of the core skills, we're not just talking about any skills, but core skills will change also by 2027. So what does that mean? Some jobs will cease to exist. They will just not be there anymore. And for the other jobs that will still even exist, the skill set that people will need will drastically change. And therefore, I think it's super important now to keep investing into upskilling or reskilling your employees. If it's someone, maybe a person working on an assembly line, that job will maybe not exist due to automation in a few years. But that may be a very talented and motivated person that you already have in your company. So you don't want to get rid of that person. You want to give that person other chances for employment. So that is a person that you can reskill and put into a new position that will be highly relevant. So I think that's where education will always have a huge part in the future of companies. People will need to be up and reskilled in order to stay relevant. I mean, let's think about Gen AI for a second. I mean, it came up a little over a year ago. I mean, it already existed, but probably only to a few people that were working on these kind of AI solutions. But the general public really learned about it a little over a year ago. And now everybody knows something at least about generative AI, or they can imagine that it will, if it hasn't affected them yet, it will affect them in the near future. So you have to adjust for that. And how does it impact education further? I think the topic of content chaos is super interesting and relevant here. Because yes, obviously you can create a lot of content quicker than ever before. But does that mean that this is good content? Well, not necessarily. Just because you can create it quicker, that's neither good or bad, I would say. But certainly not a sign of quality. But that quality will be super important as it is today, and it will remain super important. So I think it will be very important to see where is the content coming from. Is it actually relevant content? Is it high level content? So for us as Coursera, the way we guarantee it, we don't just put any content on the platform. We work with universities, we work with industry partners who are leaders in a certain topic, and that's where we are taking our content from. And thus we are guaranteeing a high level of content. And then, of course, there is, again, the human aspect. We also let our users to rate the content. If we see that a certain course is getting lower ratings, we take it offline and rework it. Or in some cases, we may discontinue it altogether. But usually it gets taken offline and reworked with the content creator. That's super important because, like you said, it will be easier to create content. So therefore, there will be a lot of content, but you still have to manage that. You have to make sure that this is relevant content.
Also, the role of a platform, which changes in the last years, the platforms helped to remove the inefficiencies for matchmaking. So I could find courses online on Coursera, etc. It was easier than just looking around the internet by myself. I just go to a platform and find all the supply of courses. So they helped us to remove the inefficiency in searching. But now, as you mentioned, with the content chaos and stuff like that, the role of a platform is about trust. It's about how can a user trust that the platform provides me with the right content, the right quality or whatever. How can I trust that the platform recommends me the right course? So I think focusing on the quality and trust building, this should be something. Yeah.
Exactly. And to be honest here, that's where also a bit of offline service comes into play, right? Because we as a platform, we don't just sort of give our company users the content and sort of the keys to the platform and say, now good luck and have fun with it, right? That doesn't work. I think it is very important that the reduction of content is almost more important than actually having the content. That is super important as well. Everybody knows that. But curating content, reducing content to a number of pieces of content, this could be courses or short form courses, that is relevant for, you know, a certain person. And that can differ. Obviously, for a marketing person, it'll be different courses than for the data analyst person. And we are looking at this from a skills standpoint. So what are the skills that the certain role needs to improve on? I could talk about how it used to be and how it is in online learning. It used to be what we call open learning. So basically, a company would buy a catalog of content, and then they would say, here, colleagues, please, this is the content that we have. Enjoy. You will learn whatever you will learn, and that's fine. And basically, they measured that by cost per employee and also a number of courses on the platform. That was how it usually starts with companies when they start using an online education platform. Then the second iteration is guided learning, where they say, okay, well, we have all this content. It may be a bit too much even. So let's say we will recommend certain content for you, right? Maybe this is for onboarding. This is if you are a product manager, this is what we recommend for you to take. And then they sort of look at what courses you have passed, how many courses you have passed, how many certificates you have gained, how many hours you have spent on the platform. And the third iteration, and that really took off, I would say, again, in Germany, which is what I've seen the most, was last year. That's skills first learning. The companies are really looking to build skills, and it doesn't really matter if you've actually, you know, taken the entire course or how much time you have spent on the platform, but it is important that you may have passed certain tests on the course that were covering a certain skill. So you're really looking on improving certain skills. It could be something like storytelling. It could be usage of other methods. That's where we're moving to. We are identifying roles, we are identifying the skills that are important for the roles, and then trying to improve those skills. So I think this is the way to go these days.
And it seems much more efficient than just measuring the time you spend on the platform, right? Because you could spend time looking at other things that have nothing to do with your job.
Exactly. Like you said, number one, it doesn't tell you if you're studying the right things. And I think in our efficient world today, you sort of want to have people studying what is needed for their jobs. Maybe they can also look at other things sometime, but what is important is that they improve those right skills. And also, if you have 2, 3, 4 people taking the same course, one will do it in half the amount of time as the other person. So the time spent is not really that important. The outcome is important. Have they improved on their skill set?
This leads me to a question. So with this output-based perspective, I need 10 marketing people at the end of Q1 or whatever, and then I can measure where I am with my goal. The question is, how do I measure if they acquire the right skills? How is this measured?
In order to test if you have progressed in a certain skill, we will test you in the course. And then, of course, once a person is on the job, you will see if that skill is actually acquired. But yes, that is exactly how it should be done, by tests that are done in a certain effective way. And we have that for all of our courses. So yeah.
As we touched before, the speed is immense. So you have to learn and upskill as fast as possible, but always what is required. So the survival of the fittest or the survival of the fastest upskiller is something like what we see right now. Also looking into the future, we briefly touched it already, is AI. We talked about translation, we talked about course creation. Where are other applications you see right now of AI in the field of education?
Right. So there's always one topic that comes up with any kind of learning. When you talk to companies, and it's, you know, what's a problem that everybody has? And that is motivation. We all have busy lives. We all have busy work day. So how do you still take the time and stay motivated to keep on learning? And I think there is something to be done there with AI, because it helps for the tools to stay relevant. So basically the learning experience improves for the learner. And We talked a bit about content creation. That is already something that will help the learner experience because there will be more personalized content and therefore more relevant content. If I can mix courses and make it relevant to a certain use case for a company, then that course already is more relevant to the learners. And if it's more relevant to the learners, we believe that they will be more motivated to take it. Then we have also introduced a tool like Coach. So the Coursera Coach is a tool where you can interact with the course content. It's like a teaching assistant that is in the course. So you're taking a specific course and maybe you don't understand all of the concepts. You can type in the question to Coursera Coach. It's a large language model. So you type it in as you would ask a teaching assistant. Can you summarize the 5 most important topics of the course? And then you'll get an answer. So I think that will be also a boost in motivation for people that is only now possible through the use of generative AI. I'm sure there will be more use cases down the road. I mean, this is what we've discovered and this is our ideas that we've came up with. But I'm sure in 1, 2, 3 years of time, there will be other solutions out there that we will implement to keep people motivated, to keep the content relevant and so forth.
What we see with OpenAI at the moment is also the App Store moment for AI. They announced that they now have the kind of a GPT App Store inside of ChatGPT. So everybody can build their own GPTs, make them available, earn money with that. Do we see also something like that for education? Something like the App Store moment for education based on AI? So you can create your own GPT based on your own company knowledge, for example, put in all the handbooks or whatever manuals you have into the upload, create a GPT, and then create automatically a course for onboarding, upskilling employees.
Who knows what will happen? But what I just mentioned for Coursera Coach, and this is important, it is already based on the specific content of the course, right? I mean, basically, we upload the course into the GPT tool. So Coach is knowledgeable about this tool. Like if we ask a coach in a certain course, what is the weather today? Then you will not get an answer. But if you ask about certain questions regarding that specific course content, then you will get an answer. So it's already trained on that content. But yeah, other than that, who knows what will happen? I'm not even going to predict it because there's so much being started these days. It's going to be interesting to see what's going to happen in the future.
We talked a lot about how the role of a platform changed. So first about bringing the good content on one platform, but now about enhancing the whole experience the user has on the platform. And it starts with finding the right course, but also being assisted throughout my learning experience and so on. Also, the role of a platform has changed because they are now common in all of our areas. But now a platform needs to distinguish because there are a lot of other platforms out there. When we also look into the future of Coursera, is there anything, would you say this is something we as Coursera strongly believe in, and this is how we see education platforms, this is the role of education platforms in the future?
I think platforms like ours, they should stay relevant. We should use new technology like Gen AI. And as those tools become better and more of them, I think it will be interesting for us to continue using them. We talk about translations, for example. I think in a very short amount of time, we will be able to not only translate courses in writing, but also in dubbing. But there will be also other technology advancements that I'm not even seeing today, but maybe will become very apparent in 6 to 12 months. And so I think platforms like Coursera, they need to stay on top of the technology that's needed. And then also when it comes to content, to have content on these topics, right? It is super important for us to update our content and to come up with new content on new topics. Like we are just introducing our Gen AI Academy. That didn't exist a year ago, but now it's what everybody's talking about. Customers are super excited about the use of Gen AI, so they will want to upskill people. And on the customer side, I think what we've seen already in the past is that the needed skill set is getting bigger and more complex. For example, when COVID hit us all, people had to stay at home. They couldn't come into the office. A very much different skill set was needed for that. all of a sudden we started talking about mental health, for example. That wasn't a topic 10 years ago, right? Nobody really talked about mental health in the workplace environment, or very few people. So that was a different skill set. Now generative AI came. Again, a different skill set is needed. And those innovations and changes will keep coming. So again, the skill set will be different, right? You need to keep improving your tech skills. So that will be very important on the customer side there.
And I think in all these technology evolutions, what's important is what you do with them and how you implement it. And one thing I was wondering, if through AI, because you said you rank, with regard to trust, you rank, for example, the courses or the people who are learning rank the courses. Are you using AI to do some quality check also? I mean, AI towards trust at all?
So right now, I'd say we have our users rate the courses. So that is part of the trust. Then, of course, I think the trust already starts with what content you put on the platform. What we don't really have is an open marketplace. And we are big believers in not having that, an open marketplace, because the trust already starts with, are we taking the content from a trusted source? And are we reviewing the course before putting it on the platform? And there is still that human element. Where we use algorithms is in search. We know what people are searching for, and therefore we present certain options to them. But again, the course rating, that is important, and that is done by people. So yeah, there is some element of AI or tools, but I still think that there is a big human aspect to it.
I think we touched a lot of great topics here, from the past to the future. Especially survival of the fittest or survival of the fastest upskiller or whatever. One, two last questions, Lucas. When you look back at the last 5 years, but also looking into the future, what would be your key advices to other kind of platform leaders out there? What should they recognize, or what should they incorporate into their management of platforms and building platforms?
Coming from a learning platform, we are all avid learners. That's me, that's our CEO, who is probably the most avid learner from all of us. So keep learning, right? Don't think you have it all figured out, and make changes if they're needed. I think that is super important. I don't know what direction exactly we will all go to in the next 5 years, and I would probably say neither do others. So really keep your eyes open into the movements of the market and adjust where it's necessary. And again, I think Gen AI is here to stay. It's not a nice to have. So that will stay, and that will impact the way we work. So there's something to be done around that. And again, there will be other topics, I'm sure, coming up. When topics like Gen AI arise, make sure you're fit. Make sure you know how to adjust your platform business to them.
Learning also means looking at others. So others can look at you and learn, but also you are looking at others. So is there someone you would recommend to our podcast to have a conversation with? Is there any kind of other platform founder or platform leader you would like to see in our podcast?
Yes, there is. There is. We talked about translation. So I can recommend you another German company. It's DeepL, and it is their CEO, who I had the chance to speak to and to meet. His name is Jarek Kutilowski. He's the CEO of DeepL, and they are amazing users of AI technology. That would be an interesting talking partner, I'm sure.
Okay, we'll reach out to Jarek and try to get him to our podcast. Thank you for that recommendation. Also, thank you very much for this conversation. I think it was really, really insightful, and a pleasure to talk to you about the future of education and the future of platforms. Again, thank you very much. And maybe in 2-3 years, we can have another recording and see how everything turned out, what we discussed today.
I think before 2-3 years, because things are going much faster than that.
You're right.
That will be fantastic. So, Natalie and Matthias, thank you so much. I've really enjoyed it. Time flew by, and I can't believe it's already over. But thank you so much for inviting.
Thanks for coming.
Dankeschön.
Merci.